you're lying here in my hand. How many years have you been here? Little human upon the sand, from where I'm lying here in your hand, you to me are but a passing breeze.
Welcome, dear friends, truth seekers, and curious newcomers to Earth Harmony Divinations. Today is February 22nd, 08. My name is Elizabeth Peter, and I will be hosting this show every second and fourth Friday of the month. As I do at the beginning of each show, I would like to give you a brief outline of what you can expect from my show. My mission statement is simple: focus on sharing joy, abundance, and gratitude at all times. Be ethical and use intuition, not fear. As we are at the dawn of the spiritual age, more precisely on the fifth night of the age of ethics, our focus is zooming in on ethics from the age of powers to ethical power, integrity, and intuition. Everything we do, think, say, create must have the qualifier ethics. It must pass the ethics test, and it has to be based on intuition. Of course, we will also have time to take calls. I'm not sure about today because I have a wonderful guest, but please feel free to call in any time and ask any questions you would like from our guests, or any comments on past shows, or just about anything you would like to discuss related to the topics of our shows, as you know from my archives. You are never interrupting. I would like to invite your feedback, thoughts, and insights on any subject. Now, in my latest shows, we talked to some great guests, but now today we have a wonderful guest, Michael Chancy. But before we talk with him, I would like to start with our usual abundance intent or prayer. So let us take a nice deep breath together. And here goes. I focus on the Holy Spirit, higher self, Om or God, you can fill in the blank, within, as the only source of my prosperity. I know this inner presence as the only activity in my financial, personal, health, career, career affairs, as it is the substance of all things visible. I trust in the principle of abundance in action within as without. And so it is. For more information about me, please visit my website, www.redlotus.org. Or shoot me an email to elizabeth@redlotus.org. I will try my best to take as many calls as I can and answer your emails. Please ask me, you know, anything you like. Now that you may be able to find me and find out about me, let us begin with the show. And today I'm honored to have a great guest, Michael Chancy, who has, as a true pioneer, manifesting what most of us just dream of at this point by creating a self-sufficient, eco-friendly community in Ontario, Canada. Welcome, Michael.
Oh, hello. How are you, Elizabeth?
I'm great. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing wonderful. Thank you.
Wonderful. Well, I believe, Michael, that the time is here now. We need to act now, and we need to get ourselves out of this matrix of dependency on grid-based energies and paying mortgages to some unknown entities, you know, for a toxic environment called home. And when I found your website, I just, you know, totally resonated with that message that you are carrying about the same thing. So that's why I invited you on the show, and I'm curious to find out how you're progressing.
Well, great. I'm moving along quite quickly. First, I would like to say something about what I'm trying to do and maybe just the reason why I'm trying to do this. For many years, I'd say probably the last 20 years, I have been drawn a little more towards nature, being outside. If it was up to me, I probably would have pitched a tent 20 years ago and just stayed out in the woods. But, you know, society doesn't allow us to do that anymore. Not really, and to also truly be a part of it as well. So I did started to dive into a more friendly way to live in the environment, be part of the environment, and not intrude.
Mm-hmm.
So I did a little research. It didn't take me long because I was drawn very quickly to a website called earthship.com.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this person who runs the website, his name's Michael Reynolds.
Mm-hmm.
He's created, and he is truly, in my opinion, a pioneer in using recycled materials and the earth to sustain us. And, of course, he figured out a way to incorporate it all into a house, which, of course, brought me right to, well, this thing is probably going to cost a fortune. And to some people, it does. But a good thing about this particular home is that you can do it in stages. And the most important thing is that you can put up the foundation and the shell of the home, which will immediately give you protection from the elements, and also bring you heat.
Uh-huh.
And it's up to you, but you can also create a small fireplace inside, and you can instantly be protected from the harsh elements. And that's something that really pointed me to doing what I'm doing today, because without a home like that, it would be pointless.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And
for most of us, Michael, it's still kind of a daunting idea to, you know, we wouldn't even know where to start. A lot of folks who live in cities and, you know, they're used to the comforts of the, you know, the inner city life and everything, the infrastructure. We really have to start changing our mindsets and start to really wrap around the idea that we have to rely on ourselves if we want to really make a good life for ourselves on this planet and not live under the stress of mortgage and all these, you know, the stresses of the world that we live under right now. So what made you decide to really go out and do this? Because a lot of us are just dreaming about this.
And I apologize for the beeps, by the way, if you're hearing that on your side. Well, what really made me decide to do this, I was never a spiritual person, never. As a matter of fact, I wasn't a religious person because everything that I heard just never made sense to me from, you know, our existence being based on what we do here in such a short amount of time, of the feelings that I always got inside about, you know, this isn't my first time here. Nothing ever truly clicked until I started looking more towards the spiritual side.
Mm-hmm.
And what really got me going in the right direction, and by no means I don't want this to be a plug, but I picked up a book called Law of One, The Raw Materials. Extremely interesting book. Rather it's 100% true or not, that point to me was meaningless. What it did for me is made me realize that we are truly all here together,
mm-hmm.
and that we can't survive as a society. To be honest with you, I don't think we can survive as an individual unless we help each other. We have
totally
so many resources.
Urgency. I totally feel that urgency also, as you do. Yes.
Yeah, and to, you know, some people make this choice to become homeless by alcohol and drugs, and they get sucked up into that kind of void. But I'm very confident that if that was my brother, my true brother sitting on the steps with a bottle in his hand, I'd reach over there, I'd grab him, I'll do whatever was necessary to bring him back. You know, of course you can't go on the person's free will, but daggone it, you can get in there and you can use some resources and you can wake the person up. Now, you know, because he's not my brother, and I see someone on the steps, you know, people don't have that urgency. People don't scream inside.
Yeah.
You know, because they don't know them.
Right.
But I believe, Elizabeth, in the future and in the near future, we're going to have that connection with people, that we're not going to allow someone that we truly love to suffer.
Yeah.
And
I think that time is here now. I feel like the future is here now. And there will be more and more people like you who will take things into their own hands and start to lead others into forming these kinds of communities. I truly believe that this is not some utopian dream.
Same. I'm right with you on that, Elizabeth. It's not. A matter of fact, what I'm doing is probably what they've done long before what we call civilization has come into play. I mean, just going back just a short time to the Indians.
Yeah.
You know, this is what they did. They shared resources. They come together as not only family, but a unity. They protected and watch each other's back. There's no reason why we can't do that on a global scale.
Well, it is in our DNA. We still remember how to do those kinds of things. In fact, I talked to a young lady. She's 30 years old, lives in inner city. And the younger generation, they are sort of like trying to make do with whatever they can to live on the fringes of this decaying systems that are around us. And she put it this way, that she says, we're just going to grow like moss. We will just grow over the decay, and we will build our lives around it and survive. And I think she put it so well. She doesn't necessarily even want to move out of the city. She says, we can just build it right here, in, you know, maybe in some decaying part of the city, and build our little communities right here too. But for some of us, like yourself, we want to move out into the land, into the countryside. And that, of course, has tremendous challenges, especially here in the U.S., because we're dealing with permits.
You're right.
So, and I don't know if you had exposure to that. I know you mentioned that it's kind of easy where you are, too.
Right. Well, right now, I'm obtaining the architectural plans for the Earthship. I do have a simple layout posted on the blog portion of on my website, so people can come and kind of take a look at it. The place that I'm moving to is an unorganized township, meaning that there's no way to tap into the city water, the electrical, even basic cable you can't get. Luckily, you can get a phone, but, you know, technology today, a cell phone can reach out there and you're fine.
Right.
And I'm not, Elizabeth, I'm not planning on living, you know, archaic, you know, by any means. But I am looking to base how I live on a recycling kind of way. Like, everything that comes into the house has to be recyclable or else it won't come in.
Exactly.
And that's really kind of the way you have to think when you move into this house, because you don't want to add to the problem. You know, you don't want cans and bottles just or something that can't be reused. And that's a good thing about this house is that it actually uses tires, which is plenty out there, and you can get them all day long for free, as well as cans, bottles, and actually make something extremely beautiful out of it, something you wouldn't, you know, be ashamed of.
Yeah, yeah.
And
well, self-sustainability is really the goal here, and I can see that in your project, that you want to completely make it such that there is nothing really going into paying for electricity or any other energy resources, and you want to build it from materials that are friendly to the earth and easy and very cost-effective.
Yes, very much. I feel, and I'm not, until I get in there and start building myself, I'm not going to have 100% knowledge on what everything's going to cost. I can say this, that the base and the structure, the walls, are 100% free because we're going to be using tires. Each one of these tires, when they're compacted with dirt, weighs approximately 300 pounds. So it's not going anywhere. A matter of fact, the foundation of the home will probably be there for the next 400 or 500 years. It's there for a lifetime. And then the top is going to be used out of concrete to help catch the water. But we may have to tweak the plans because of the heavy snow. Although, I haven't seen a whole lot of snow in the last 5 years. Things are changing out there, and I wouldn't be a bit surprised if is what used to be really cold up there is going to start looking more like Ohio or, you know, the Midwest of the states. it's getting warmer, and spring is beginning to lengthen. Matter of fact, a buddy of mine told me that they had what seemed to be an extra 2 to 3 weeks of summer and fall up there.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, so I'm sure that things are changing.
Yeah, that's amazing to hear. Now, what made you decide on the round structure? The Earthship huts look like little round domes.
Yes, well, it's what really motivated me, believe it or not. I want it to be earthquake friendly.
Mm-hmm.
I have concerns. I have concerns that this earth is going to be making some big changes.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I've had opportunity to do this in Florida and around the coast. And I feel that's the one place I probably wouldn't want to be, you know?
Yeah.
So I decided to go north. See, I'm originally from the States.
Oh, you are?
Oh, yeah. I'm originally from the States about 4.5 years ago. Yeah, I actually lived in Ohio.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And I decided to move up to Canada mainly. I have a business that allowed me to do it. Inside me, Elizabeth.
You grow mushrooms, correct?
Yes. Thank you for mentioning that. I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to use anything selfishly.
Well, I thought that was pretty cool because, I mean, mushrooms are just easy to grow anywhere. I mean, you can do this basically in a basement or something.
Right. And what I'm planning on doing is more or less terraforming about 1 or 2 acres of crown land with mushrooms.
Wow.
And that's going to be added to our overall food supply. I have a lot of what I feel is a lot of good ideas. I just need to get my hands dirty and get up there, and I just can't do anything without that structure going up first. But my idea would be to use what I already have, the knowledge that I have, and begin growing mushrooms, shiitakes, portobellos, even reishis, more for the blood and for immunity. A lot of those mushrooms supply a lot of protein.
That's what I was going to ask. They are basically proteins.
Oh, yes, they are. They're protein,
that's
and they can be
amazingly good. Yeah.
They can easily be dried up. And a good thing is that, believe it or not, mushrooms can be grown off of almost all recycled material, such as cardboard, paper, even corn cobs that we really can't find a really good use for. You give me a pile of corn cobs, and I'll grow you a feast in 3 months.
So you're using permaculture.
Yes, and that's the plan, although I'm reaching out to the public because I'm not ready to invest my time today to learn that skill, permaculture. But I put out the word the best that I can. That's why I'm advertising everywhere, and I'm using my own money to advertise, not to get funds in. I actually haven't asked any particular person for funds, but I do want it to be out there and say, hey, look, if you're interested and you want to see this project, you're so welcome to help. And I don't mean, you know, money. I mean, I would love for another pair of hands. I'd love to have knowledge. I have an electrician out there who's willing to lay out a diagram for electrical. We have an idea of how to create a very inexpensive electricity by using, believe it or not, recycled materials that we feel that we can generate enough for a single home of electricity on a windy day that blows maybe 2 knots for 1 hour, and that will recharge the entire battery bank to run the house for the entire day. And this system would cost less than $200.
So how are you doing with the donations? I noticed on your website you have a few people already donating. Is that
right? And actually, what you're seeing donated is mostly myself and my family who believe in me.
Okay.
I haven't really had any donations at all from the public. And, you know, that's okay because we're so used to people, Elizabeth, scamming us and always wanting something for nothing. And for someone like me to say, hey, look, I'm doing this for you. Yeah, right. You know, what do you want now? You know, and
I'm starting to reach out to try to talk to, government official places that perhaps, help with such projects. But I believe that the time is, of course, still not here for people to really be conscious of this. We're a little ahead of our times, and that's why I'm thinking you're really a true pioneer because it's harder right now. In just a short few years, I'm sure this is going to be, you know, everybody will be doing it.
Oh,
I'm so sure.
I hope so, Elizabeth. And I have a plan, and this is my plan. When I go out there, I'm And like I said, it's probably just going to be me, and that's okay. Whatever it takes to get done, I'm going to do it. It's the prize is much bigger than, you know, a house for Mike. You
yeah.
know, the prize is waking up everyone who just wants to put their best foot forward, that has no place really to get started, that believe that the way that we're living now is self-destructive. And it truly is.
Yeah.
And not only, Elizabeth, the housing, I'm not talking just, the housing is just some place to put our bodies,
right.
you know, so we can be safe and not have a mortgage. But more importantly, is to pull people in that believe like we do, spiritually,
mm-hmm.
that we can come together as a family,
exactly.
you know, to help one another and to encourage another. When someone falls, we pick them up. When someone says, you know, I need some resources here, we all come running because
yeah.
we all care. We all love each other, and we care. We want everyone to be happy, and we can't find that happiness any longer in material things. The material way of happiness was a lie. It was an absolute lie from the start.
Well, according to the Mayan calendar, we're in the fifth night, which actually is about the material world basically collapsing, leading with the current monetary system. And that is what has to happen first before we can really move into the golden age that you're talking about. And that at that point, then we have nothing else left but to get together as a community like what you're doing and really create something out of nothing.
Right.
Then we can rise.
Exactly.
Rise above this.
You know, unfortunately, we're going to have to hit rock bottom, you know, for most people to realize it, you know, that, I even have a daughter that is so materialistic, and it's hard to break them from that. And the only way for her to see that this is wrong is to take it away from her.
Right.
You know, and so the only thing she has to do is come out to the living room and be part of the family. And that's what's going to have to happen with all of us. We're going to have to take all the toys away.
Mm-hmm.
So you're so bored that you have no other choice but to go hang out with other people.
Funny that you mentioned that, because I just shut down the bank for my daughter, too, yesterday.
I'm sure
she's... She tells me every day, Mom, I haven't eaten in 3 days, and she's 20. She doesn't live with
Aww.
Me. You know, I had to do this because it just... That, like you said, that was the only thing I had left, is to really show her this is serious. We need to live within our means.
Right. And
yes,
you know what? Our doors will always be open to them. You know, Mom, I can't make it. I can't do it. Well, you know what? My door's open. You know, I won't allow you to go out on the street.
Mm-hmm.
But,
we have to learn to live without money. And
yes.
That is so hard for people to even... You know, they don't even want to hear that when I start talking about that, because to them it's like, oh, no money, what am I going to do? It's a concept.
Right. It's a lie. It's an absolute lie. I feel that I have such good ideas. The house itself, that when we build it, one cow, just one single cow, not only will it give you milk and eventually give you meat, but it also fuels the entire home with the methane gas. The gray water is what we call the gray water.
Right.
After it feeds all the plants inside the home, inside the greenhouse, it goes out to more or less a septic tank
mm-hmm.
that will leach out to the property, to your gardens. But if you cap that off, you create methane gas. With a simple sensor that runs off a 9-volt battery, it will flick on a pump that will compress this gas into a tank. And this tank is used for cooking. And it doesn't smell. The gas itself doesn't smell. And you can fuel this by having a single cow putting in its materials into the waste. And not only that, but clippings from the yard. Everything has to be used and recycled. So imagine, one cow per house will sustain you for life, really. You know, as long as you have a cow, you got heat.
There's also hundreds of inventions already in place for alternative energy, you know, sources, such as windmills and solar and water resources that we could use. We could turn air into helium and hydrogen to fuel our cars and motors and things like that. That's going to be available fairly soon here, as soon as we get out of these.
Right. And Elizabeth, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think we're going to see any of those things until the U.S. and all of us go belly up money-wise. I really don't.
And
I think
that's exactly why I'm totally constantly tooting my horn about the fifth night, because we are in the fifth night as we speak. It started in November when the money system is starting to collapse. And, of course, right now people are still in the illusion that, oh, it's just a temporary snag. Well, it is not.
No.
And so once that really collapses, then we can finally have people listen. You know, then we have the ears that you – It's like deaf ears right now.
Yes.
They're going to start listening. So I'm really hoping that you will find those little group of people that all you need is a few, right?
Right. And people, you would think they'd be lining up at my door.
Exactly. Me too. You know, I've been trying to find a community here in the Northwest for like 2 years. I started a tribe.net site with my little tribe.
Yep.
People from all over the world joined, but nobody here in the Northwest.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of shocks me, because I figured once I put the website up and put the word out, now Elizabeth, I am getting you'll be surprised of how many emails I'm getting saying, hey, I wanted to do this.
Yes.
You know, I've been wanting to do this for years. This is in our blood. This right is in our DNA. Something is screaming at us to start moving this way. But unfortunately, the material world, it seems to have a stronger hold on us.
I think people are still living in fear. You know, we have these wonderful gatherings. Maybe you've heard of the Burned Men gatherings.
No, personally,
Burning
no, I have
Men
not.
Gatherings, have you heard of them?
No, but I'll definitely look that up.
Oh, Burning Man is something where people just go out into the Nevada desert without nothing, no money, okay? And it's just, now it's grown into a movement of, like, when there's a gathering, there's 20, 30,000 people.
Wow.
And they basically just bring, you know, the necessities of water and food, and they freely share with each other. It's a it's sort of like a Woodstock situation without the drugs and the alcohol and the craziness. It's just a beautiful manifestation how human beings can spend a week or two together and live and sustain themselves. And I think that's sort of like an experiment, I think, for the future of what we are going to live like. We will live in communities like that. And what you're doing is amazing. I think this is a great example that you're giving to a lot of people. And I know you will encourage enough people, just the handful that you need, to bring this to fruition. I don't have a doubt in my mind.
Oh, I hope so. Here, I have a simple idea that I'm hoping that will help out a lot of people who may be interested in doing this. Right now, we're waiting for the Ministry of Transportation, or Ministry of Natural Resources and Transportation, to okay the dirt road that we're building up. It's going to be a simple dirt road. Unfortunately, we have to go through some trees, but you're not going to be able to see it from the road. It's pretty much invisible back there, which, you know, personally, that's very comforting to me. But once we get the road built, I'm going out there hopefully at the end of March and begin the layout. Now, my hope is this, Elizabeth, that I have several cameras, and I'm going to document in great, great detail every step of the way, from the very first tire to even building the simple chicken coops. Everything that I do is going to be documented.
Mm-hmm.
So to place this on a DVD for simple download from our website, I will be able to show other people how to build this house, to, you know, create a small piece of heaven, a community for themselves. I'm going to allow them to download it absolutely for free.
Mm-hmm.
Because I figured there's no way I want to make a dollar off of this, because that's what this is. This is just not what it's about anymore. It's no longer about what you can get from people. Now it's about what you can give to people.
Right.
You know, and
these Earthship Huts, I went to their websites. How easy is it to build? I mean, can you build it with just a few people, or?
You know what?
It's
takes
very low cost, right?
It is very low cost. It takes a heart, you know, some determination to do it. But if you're able to swing a sledgehammer,
mm-hmm.
And if you have the property, you can do this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not 100% sure on the outside shell of what it costs. But to my understanding, just to get the tires pounded and to get the roof over the head and to put the two doors on, it's going to cost roughly about $600. I mean, to have a place of safety, because even the fireplace itself is made out of local materials such as mud and straw. So you can create the chimney itself, the fireplace. You can enclose it. Now, that doesn't count for, you know, building the greenhouse on the front to give you the heat. But what it does is it gives you a place to stay with safety and where you can still go to work if you have to and start collecting that money to keep building on the house. And what I feel would be the best way to do this is, for at least for my community, is we're going to piggyback each one of these. So what I mean by that is I am probably going to hire two or three people unless I get some volunteers. Mm-hmm. And when I get the shell up in the greenhouse, then I'm going to use that as a way to piggyback the next person coming in, mm-hmm. because they're going to need the place to stay. Mm-hmm. You know, they're going to need a place to stay for a couple weeks so they can get their house going, so they can move into theirs and then start building on their own. I want to show from the very beginning that we pull together, we use each other's homes to keep building on to the next, and once I'm finished with my home and the three extra rooms, I'm planning on using that as more of a community center. So as other people come in.
It's funny how symbolic you're actually creating this like mushrooms.
Yeah.
Well, and do they need like a serious foundation? What do you do about foundations?
Oh, no, the foundation, believe it or not, my first plan was to dig, to dig to give us more space, but I realize that I feel that that's a waste of energy. So we're not going to dig. What we're going to do is level the ground. And then take your tires, actually do the circle, a 20-foot diameter circle, and we start impacting the tires with dirt. And believe it or not, the tires themselves is the foundation. The ground itself is the foundation.
It's so heavy that it keeps it very stable.
Oh yeah, it's not going to go in. It's not going to go anywhere. And you know where I'm building it, it's a clay. So it's compacted pretty much as much as it's going to be compacted anyway. Nothing's going to move. Nothing's going to shift. And it's in a way that the tires itself is still kind of dirt to the earth. It kind of just feels like it's just making a big hill, you know, and it's just being built up. It doesn't really know any different. It's not going to sink down or anything like that. So the foundation itself is the house. And by doing it in a circle, kind of like an egg, when you squeeze an egg at the top, it doesn't want to crack.
Well, you can even create several of these little mushrooms connecting each other, right?
Exactly. See, when we build the first one, and we build the cistern right next to it, and the greenhouse, that, as far as I'm concerned, is complete. That is, you can kind of look at it as like a studio apartment. Mm-hmm. But you can begin building the other circles right next to it, and then you build the greenhouse that connects. So once you get moved into the first one, you can build as many as you want all the way down the row. I suggest no more than three rooms, another 20-foot, and then 216, just because you want to start using your muscles, your resources now to help the next person. And those extra rooms, like I said, my family could move in or sleep in the other 20-foot circular room, and those other two small 16-foot rooms, I'm going to use those for the next people to come down so they can stay and start building their home. And we're going to keep the videos on hand, a small TV, a small power source. So even if we're not there, although we will know you're coming to the property, but even though we're not there, you can pop in the DVD, watch the construction, and get started on your own. And everyone is to respect each other's property. You know, and you sound, you know, like that's a dream. Who's going to respect? You know, you're going to come back and everything's going to be stolen. You know, I don't believe that. I don't believe that the people are going to do that, are going to move into the property, are those kind of people. And I don't want to insult anyone, but I do want to find more spiritual-minded people to bring this in because I think that they get it. I really do.
I wish I could go there. I don't know. You know, Canada, do they let the U.S. people just move there these days?
Well, what you're allowed to do is this. I'm here on a worker's permit, but we're filing for permanent residency. I mean, we're not planning on going anywhere.
Oh.
And let's just say, for instance, that, okay, you can't work here anymore. Well, Canada, what you're allowed to do is come here, and you can't stay up to roughly 6 months, and then you have to go back home for a certain amount of time. I kind of forget. I want to say a week, and then you can come back. Now, I'm not, you know, here in Canada.
What if you have a little small business? Is that,
yes.
That's easier. Well, I don't want to, you know, sidetrack you on that, but
okay.
So the government offices around there where your property is, they're not giving you any difficult time yet, or you don't?
No, and I really don't plan them to. See, where I'm moving, you're actually capable of building an outhouse. You know, because it's unorganized, they have no utilities for you. And because it's such a small town, they are welcoming anyone coming in, you know, at that point that, you know, that's not going to leech off of society that's coming in with, you know, a job or a plan. And I don't feel that there's going to be any government officials that are going to say, hey, you can't do this. It's a small town, you know, and they understand that, well, if you're going to build something out in the woods there, you have no electricity, no gas. How are you going to do it? Well, I'm going to show them. It's solar, it's wind, it's, you know, here it is. Now, it is very important for me to get the architectural plans.
Yeah.
And I'm halfway there. I actually sent him pretty much 50% of the down payment.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, I don't care.
So
you
don't need to get those approved by your local people there?
I am going to show them. It is being made for Canada. You know, the specs are for Canada. And I am going to go there and show them, here's the plans, here's what we're going to do. Now, there's a possibility, Elizabeth, they're going to say, well, you have to tweak this part. You know, say the septic tank. You can't very well have it leaching out underneath the ground. But yet, if they allow outhouses, that's exactly the same thing.
Yeah, thanks to Al Gore, I think he made a little inway into starting to change people's minds towards alternative buildings and green everything. So I think maybe I'm hoping that at least that will give us a little hope with the local governments, because here in the U.S. it's much, much worse, Michael. I mean, I hear people say, you know, you can't get a permit for especially an unusual shaped home, you know, on anywhere, even if it's a land, you know, way out in the boondocks.
So well, again, that earthship.com, Michael Reynolds there. Now, they are putting up, or people are purchasing plans and are putting these up throughout. Believe it or not, when I was in Ohio, I got very excited because only about 10 miles away, I want to say in Delaware, someone was actually putting up an earthship. They got the okay to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my thought would be contact the website, earthship.com, and say, hey, look, I'm planning on doing this. Where are they being built right now?
Mm-hmm.
And that way, a lot of the groundwork has already been done for you.
Well, it has to be approved. Here in Oregon, it has to be approved by a local engineer. It has to be like almost like built already here somewhere. You cannot. It's like the chicken and the egg. You know? So it's definitely harder here.
It's going to be a little more difficult.
I am hoping that with people like yourself, you know, we can finally make precedent and create these communities. I am not going to give up on my dream to create one like this either.
Oh, yeah, and you shouldn't.
And you're lucky you have the land, but, you know, I think we can create this on a much smaller piece of land, too. I mean,
oh, yeah.
It doesn't have to be 50 acres.
Right. Well, actually, how it's working is this. I have access to 50 acres, but I'm only going to be using 5 to get started. Now, this land is mine 100%. The 5 acres is mine. So as the community starts being built, I'm putting them on the 5 acres. Now, what I'm saying, Elizabeth, is no one has to purchase any land. The land is mine.
So you're
no
giving
one...
it to them, or are you getting into any kind of legal stuff about that? Or...
Well, no, what I'm going to do is make the 5 acres more of a kind of like a condo community.
Mm-hmm.
How the land itself doesn't actually belong to one person, but it belongs to an organization. You know, or the community as a whole.
Is it
now,
like a trust?
I'm sorry?
Is it like a land trust?
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. That's the plan. Now, the first things first, I have to get the first one built before I can do something like that. I have to show that this can be a residential living area. It's not just some woods outside. So that's the first plan, to get it built first, and then open it up. And you know, off the top of my head, I kind of forget what it's called to do that, but I know that we can make it more as a community.
A prototype?
Right. But the land itself being owned by other people and being owned by everyone, but yet not being owned by anyone.
Well, that's exactly, that was my dream, Michael. I mean, you're making my dream come true. I am, like, so jealous, because I wanted to find a land trust here in the Northwest on which I can start building these. You know, I don't want to own land. I don't care. I just want to be a keeper, earth keeper. That's how the Native Americans have been teaching us. Just be the keeper of the land, not the owner. You can't own land.
Yeah, exactly. You can't own anything. You can't own anyone. You can't own animals. In God, in His wisdom, even He does everything recycling. Let it be the universe, the stars, the planet, even us, even our bodies. Everything's on the recycling. No one owns anything.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, the material world, is based on owning anything and everyone. And that's the way it is right now, until we can break that cycle. And we're going to real soon, Elizabeth. You wait and see.
Yeah, well, that's exactly what I'm planning for, too, because I think time is really running out for a lot of us. And instead of living in fear about, money, when is the next money coming from, we need to start thinking like yourself, is to get out there and build ourselves something that we can sustain on.
Exactly, and start eliminating your bills. That was the very first step that myself and my family took. We said, this is how much money we're spending every month. How do we start eliminating these bills to the point where the only thing that we pay now is our rent on the house that we're staying at and our utilities. Everything else has finally been paid off, although I did kind of max the cards out to get enough money on my cards to put the road in. So what I did is I focused on paying off all the credit cards, everything that I owe, all the bills that I owe, and now when it comes time to put in the road, I'm going to have to max out. But that's okay. That's okay. The main thing is the road is up.
A nonprofit organization around this so that you could create some, or you already did that, right?
I'm sorry. I wasn't too sure what you were asking.
Some kind of a nonprofit organization that perhaps you could then maybe apply for grants or loans or fundraise for.
I haven't really looked that area in that way, and to be honest with you, I'm kind of scared to. I would rather see people come together, individuals come together to make this happen. I don't want to be starting with my hand out. You know what I mean? Starting at, I can get a grant to do this and grant to do that. That kind of, to me, that kind of goes right back to the material thing. What can I get? Instead, what I want to do is I want to get in there with people who have the same dream, that will pour their own resources, that can raise up their hands and say, we did this. We did this together with no help. We're a family. This is what we do, and this is what we're going to keep doing. We don't really need a freebie from the government. We don't need that. We have ourselves. Because the government is not an individual. It's an organization. And I love our government. Don't get me wrong. I mean, the Canadian government, I love them to death. They're one of the few governments that truly listen to the people, in my opinion, truly listen to the people. That's a big reason also why I moved out here. And I'm not going to get into politics, but I was scared half to death about 7 years ago, and I'm still scared for the U.S. today. I'm glad to see some changes going. But I'm scared for you. I really am. And that's why, another reason why I decided to move way north, away from the border.
Very, very smart on your part. And so how long have you been into this project so far?
Well, actually, I only put up the website about 3.5-4 months ago, just before Christmas started. I decided to start, if you want to call it advertising, to find the people that I feel need to know about this. That's why I'm advertising so much on BBS. Matter of fact, it's one of the few places I do advertise. Unless you type in Law of One or the Golden Age on Yahoo, then you kind of see something along the side that talks about the community to try to pull people in. So I'm trying to focus my advertising on radio shows like yours, you know, that that really touches more of the spiritual people. And because I know that if I would have gone out to survivalist websites, you know what I mean, that I would have probably had a ton of people by now. But it defeats the purpose because they would be, you know, I got to save myself, I got to watch after myself. Those are what survivalists do. So instead I wanted to find people that's more of a spiritual, because the house is really just stage one.
Mm-hmm.
I want the house to go up so we don't have to worry about mortgage. We don't have to worry about the everyday struggles that we have. And we can, if we can eliminate that, Elizabeth, mm-hmm. then we can really focus on spiritual side.
You're so right. We first have to change people's mindsets before anything else can be done. It has to, the spiritual shift has to happen first.
I agree. And you know what? It's very hard for someone to be spiritual when they're working 12 hours a day.
Yeah.
You know, when they're worried about feeding their family or how we're going to pay the bill. When sure, you can take that 15 to 20 minutes of meditation maybe and do your thing to stay connected. But to go past that, you've got to have that stress out of your life. I mean, you just have to.
Yeah.
You know, for the mind, body, and soul, I believe that, that this place will be focused on that, mind, body, and soul, so you can grow as an individual, grow as a spirit, and be part of a real community, not a fake one that everyone lives on the block and feels that that's a community. Mm-hmm. You know, that's not a community per se, not a spiritual community that I'm hoping this will bring.
Well, I truly admire your courage and you know, your pioneering spirit. It's just, you know, like you said, it's not that easy.
No.
And so any additional advice you could offer to startups like myself? I mean, I don't anticipate leaving the U.S., although
right.
I'd love to, but, you know, I kind of got myself into the Northwest here. It's not as good as Canada, but, you know.
I understand. Okay. You know, home is where the heart is, and I understand that. My first step, really, in my opinion, would be to find out where these homes are being created right now. Believe it or not, there's some in Oregon. There are some in pretty much every single state. Now, you may have to bend a bit on exactly where you live in Oregon to make this happen, but I suggest maybe contacting Earthship.com and asking them, where are these houses being built? Do you have a list? Is there something that I can look at? And they will point you in the right direction if you're more focused on building the house, so you can begin your community along the same route that I'm doing.
So Earthship is basically spreading all over.
Oh, yeah. I've been following Michael Reynolds' works for over 20 years. I'm 40, and I knew about him when I was 18 years old. And what he was doing. Now, the Earthship has changed a lot, become more sustainable than ever before because technology has changed,
uh-huh.
and it has become a beautiful place to live, not just a mud shack full of tires. It's not like that at all. It's,
exactly. You know, I want to create a little sophisticated little place. It's not going to have to be, you know, like living, you know, walking around the mud all the time.
Right.
Yeah.
and it's not. It's nothing like that. The inside is so beautiful. Like I said, I will take such good pictures and details of what we're doing in the community as I go along. And, you know, I hope, I really do hope that people are listening and taking this to heart and would want to be part of this. But, you know, even if you don't want to be a part of what I'm doing, you can follow what I'm doing. You'll be able to download every section of the way. I will post it immediately, even the road being built. I will post it immediately to the website for you to download, and then you can hopefully be a little bit more inspired to do something.
Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot to give out your website address. That's lawofonecommunity.com. Again, that's www.lawofonecommunity.com. And you can also reach Michael by email, and that's michael@lawofonecommunity.com. We're talking to Michael Chancy. Sorry if anyone just tuned in later, you probably weren't sure what we're talking about here. But so, Michael, you really believe that the Earthship Hut way is the way to go, and it's like the easiest, most simple way to get started for a small community like what you're trying to do?
Oh, yes. Just to be able to do the first room, the 20-foot diameter room with the roof. Now, the roof is designed to catch water and to go into a cistern, not a cistern that you buy for $4,500, but actually what you do, literally, you dig a hole, you do the same, use the same properties as if you were creating a pond out in your yard. It collects nice, clean rainwater, and then it goes through a simple system to clean out water. Very simple, and all of it's reused over and over. What I mean by that is, let's say I take a shower.
Uh-huh.
The water from the shower goes into my garden on the inside, runs right into my toilet, which fills up, and then when you flush that, that's reused once again through the inside garden, where eventually go out to a tank to collect the methane gas. Everything is enclosed. You could literally shut the door and stay in there if you're producing enough food. And that's the way it should be. Your home should be working with you and with the earth. It'll help you be
so
comfortable.
So you can reuse gray water basically 5-6 times even, I heard.
Right? Oh, yeah. You keep using it over and over until there's not a whole lot of it left.
Have you heard of this water vortex machines that they constantly circulate water inside this vortex type of thing?
No, I haven't.
I went to a website called worldsnest.com, and they created a home in New Mexico, in Taos, New Mexico. It's a huge home. You can go visit and stay there for $300 a night. It's a very, very luxurious, beautiful home that is completely self-sustained.
Wow.
With a variety of different alternative things that we mentioned earlier. All the Tesla inventions are utilized. They're even creating helium to run their car. They have a Hummer outside that they just fill up with helium.
It better be, because
they
wouldn't be able to afford to put gas in there.
Well, no gas. It's all helium-fueled, completely 100% helium-fueled, that they create out of thin air in one of these machines that they have on the property.
Wow. That sounds nice. I came across something else, and it may be exactly what you're talking about. It's called compressed technology. A person is actually running a car without any gas or even without a battery, and it's somehow compressing the air just by spinning a wheel, and he's running his car on it. It's compressed technology. You can find, I believe, some information on YouTube about that.
It could be the helium thing, I don't know, but what they use is they're using hydrogen and helium for various purposes. They have the vortex water machine going. They have an indoor garden that they can even grow tropical fruits and things like that. It's a phenomenal thing. So, you know, you can go very sophisticated eventually, but I think to start little with very little money like what you're doing, to me, that's phenomenal. Because these people who started in Taos, they had a lot of money. They made some money. So that's why I was incredibly impressed by what you're doing, because it's not easy. But
no, and I...
If you have the spirit, you can do it.
Right. And I, you know, the rich are the rich, and they can pretty much do what they want, you know. But my focus is really towards the middle class and the lower, which, you know, they have a good heart. They have that family connection because they have very little. So they're kind of forced and love family, and those are the people that I do find, you know, that are being more attracted to what I'm doing, and that's wonderful. It really is. And, you know, to have to turn someone away because they don't have enough money, that goes against everything that we're trying to do. You know, it shouldn't have to be what you make a year. It depends on if you can survive, you know, in the future. It's not the way it should be. So what I ask the public is this. If you have land and you are capable of getting permission to build a home like this, open it up for the public. You know, open it up for people who want to do this to come together as a community, because they have the heart, they have the drive, they're able to physically do it. But without that land, without that big push, they're stuck. They can't go anywhere.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, there's tremendous amounts of land trusts out there, just amazing amounts. Well, I want to thank you, Michael, for your time on our show today, and I want to wish you the best of luck with your wonderful project to create this spiritual community with sustainability and eco-friendly home building and community building. And I'm sure that you will be our shining example to many of us down the road in the future.
Thank you, Elizabeth. And, you know, I ask people out there to do this. Maybe during your meditation, you know, send a little prayer my way. It means so much, just to get an email now and again saying, hey, look, I can't help you. I can't do this, but I love what you're doing. I love that you're putting the effort. And, you know, kudos. You know, that's what I want to hear.
It is taking very good care of you for this, and you will be blessed multifold for this project. And so, anyway, we will keep in touch, and anyone wants to get in touch with Michael, it's, again, michael@lawofonecommunity.com, or go to his website, www.lawofonecommunity.com. And this is our time is up for this show for today. I just want to finish up with the abundance prayer. Do you want to join me on this?
Oh, yes, please.
Okay. And this is our closing gratitude intent. I'm grateful, and I know now that there is nothing that I could truly desire that is not at this very moment standing at the door of my consciousness, ready to appear in my life and affairs. I have only to be conscious of this truth, and every need is met, every problem solved, every question answered. My consciousness of the Holy Spirit within is all I will ever need for all eternity. And so it is. Thank you all for joining us today, and blessed be all. Thank you.